vertically challenged and everything else. Well, let me start off by saying we miss y'all. We've been up there. Brother David said we're trying to turn into Yankees. But you can hear from the way I talk still, I'm not a Yankee. What's funny, my mother is a Yankee. She's back here today. She's from New York. But we called her a Southern Fried Yankee because she never went home. But I've been in school up there, and they made me take English. I told a couple this story with a couple of people. My English teacher told me, she said, "Brother Brian, you need to stop speaking Southern." I looked at her kind of strange. She said, "You need to stop thinking Southern." Looked at her again. She said, "Brother Brian, you even write Southern." I said, "Thank you." I didn't know what else to tell her. I didn't know you can write Southern, but she said I wrote Southern. We've been having a good time. It's been a blessing knowing that I have a family, church family, sitting back behind us praying for us. We've been up there now for about 4.5 months. The Lord's allowed us to see about 13 people saved while we've been up there. And let me tell you, soul winning works wherever we're at. Wherever we're at, it works right here in South Haven, Mississippi. It works in Massillon, Ohio. Just need somebody to tell them. Up there, it's a little bit different. I'll get with the message in a minute. It's a little bit different. You knock on the door up there, you're liable to get cussed out before they come to the door. But you got to tell them, "I'm not a Jehovah's Witness." Hold up. "I'm not a Jehovah's Witness." Because they said the Jehovah's Witness doesn't abuse that too much. They actually have laws up there. If they got no soliciting on their door, if you knock the door, they can arrest you. I still knock their doors. I said, "I might get arrested, but the Holy Spirit convicts me to tell that person too." So I've been getting in trouble a little bit with school on that, but not too bad. But it's been a blessing to know, like I said, that we have a church family sitting behind us praying for us. And that's an encouragement thing. That Brother David's message this morning, I sat there and I thought about it. Thankful in the good times and the bad times. Thankful. And when he was preaching, I'd share a little personal testimony a minute ago, here in a second. 2 months ago, end of the month, I'm sitting there wondering, how am I going to feed my family? Lord, I stepped out by faith. I moved up here, Lord, prepared to go to Bolivia. How am I going to feed my family, Lord? Got another week or two before the support comes in. I ain't getting many hours at work. But I was still saying, "Lord, thank you. You got me here. Lord, you brought me here. You got me here for a reason. Thank you." It's hard to tell him thank you in the good times and the bad times. But let me tell you, he rewards. That same day, I got some money. He rewards. God's always good all the time, not this part of the time, all the time. And tonight I'm going to preach on a message talking about avoiding Satan's snares. Let me tell you, I preached a message one time in here, 18 devices Satan used against us. This ain't going to have 18 points. It might be a little bit longer. I don't know. We'll see. Good thing about it, y'all ain't going to listen to me too long tonight. I'm going to preach as long as the Lord wants me, but we headed back to Ohio tonight as soon as the service is over. Back up there where they're trying to turn me into a Yankee, as Brother David said. Brother Darius likes that, being up there from Minnesota and all. But let me tell you, they're not going to win. When I told that English teacher, I said, "Let me tell you something real quick. I've finished this." I said, "One more I'm going, I don't need English. I'm headed to Bolivia, South America. That English class ain't doing me no good." She didn't like that too much, but it is what it is. But avoiding Satan's snares, we'll take your Bible and turn to the 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 5. While you turn, I'm going to start reading. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the older. They all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resenteth the pride, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Notice verse 8 right here, because this is where most of our scripture is going to come from and our text is going to come from tonight. "Be sober, be my tongue getting a little tired there because of that bad English. But be vigilant, because your devil, the adversary of the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished between brethren that are in the world." Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that we know we serve the Almighty God, Lord. And Lord, that you win the battle in the end, Lord. And we already know that, Lord. You're the greatest thing that ever happened to us if we're in here as a saved individual tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just praise you for all that you do. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, give me clarity. Give me boldness in my words, Lord. Give me the words to say, Lord, that you would have me to say and nothing else, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd use this message, Lord, to help us all just take a glimpse of what Satan might throw at us, Lord, in different times in our life, Lord, and how we can just use it more to glorify God and point people back to God, saying Satan can throw them, but Lord, we know that you will prevail. Lord, we just praise you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Right here in this point scripture on verse 8, we got Peter, and we know Peter was one. Peter knew plenty about Satan throwing snares at him. Jesus told Peter plenty of times that Satan was out to get him. He was going to try to throw things in his way to make a stumbling block to him. So Peter knew what it was like to have snares in his way. But I'm telling you what's wrong with Christians today. I see it a lot up north. Let me tell you, this church right here, I thank God for this church. I've been to, I don't know how many churches up north that have fallen asleep. They're not sitting there. I talked to Pastor Brother Corey. I thank God for that man that stands behind his pulpit and preaches the whole Word of God every day. Because I'm sitting up there and I'm thinking about my family getting watered down Christianity because they're falling asleep. The Christians are falling asleep up there. And that's what happens. Christians fall asleep. They get comfortable in what they're doing. They get comfortable with day-to-day, and it's a routine, and that's just the way it's going to be. When we get comfortable in what we're doing, let me tell you, Satan throws a snare. We had a young man and that I was going to college with. I won't say no names or nothing. Second year, he'd been going there, and Satan threw a snare in that young man's life this year. Young people, listen to this right here. This boy's been doing good in school, passing great. He threw a girl in his way. Satan used this girl, unsaved girl, worldly girl. And this young man started lusting after her. The college, the professors, the dean, all of them tried to warn him, stop. You don't need to do this. This ain't the step you want to be. Praying for him. This young man kept going. A couple weeks ago, I had some young people in the college coming to me, asking me why they kicked him out. And the only thing I can say, some people in that college ain't been saved 2 or 3 months. They just got saved before they come to college. The only answer I can give you, because he gave Satan an inch. When we give Satan an inch, Satan will take a mile. We give Satan an inch, he'll take the rest of our lives if we ain't help letting him. Don't matter if saved or not. Satan wants every one of us in here to stumble and fall. He wants each and every one of us to stumble and fall. So first point in this message tonight is don't stray. Don't stray from the gospel. Don't stray from your duty to God. We all have a duty to God. And that's to go and tell others about him, to serve him. Look, it's not hard for me to know that I'm going to serve God the rest of my life as long as God allows me. Because that man, Jesus Christ, died for my sin. Don't stray from him. It's real easy for Satan to throw a snare, but don't stray from the one that died for you. Sent his son to this earth. God in the flesh come and hung on a cross for you, for me. But yet people still stray because they don't think about it. When I'm going through a hard time, I sit there and I think about Jesus Christ hanging on that cross. God the Father turning his back on his own son for my sins, not for his. That makes me want to keep going and not straying away, not moving away what I want to do. So I don't want to stray away. In Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but have I kept thy word. We need to keep the word of God. We need to keep the word of God. We don't need to add to the word of God. A lot of people are doing that today. We need to keep it. All 66 books, we need to live by it. Cherish them. They're the word of God. Brother David Hanna's done a great message in Sunday school this morning. I love 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Yes, sir. And it's proper for what? Doctrine. For correction. Man, I love it. For reproof. For instruction of righteousness. Instructions. That's telling me right here, this is an instruction manual for me to live by. It'll help me not to stray. Not to stray, but so many Christians nowadays sit there and they think, well, I went to church Sunday morning. I done my part. I might go Wednesday night. Soul winning is out of the question. They're straying. They're not staying where God wants them. Christians sometimes neglect their prayer life, and they fail to study God's word as they should. When they do this, they begin to stray. Look, people, it's not hard to wake up in the morning and give God his time. He gave his life for you. It's not hard to open up that Bible. Well, it is hard for people because they want their own time, their own things in their own time. Open up that word of God and might be having a bad day and just open up and read something. God will give you something from it. God will give you something for it. He'll give you what he wants you to have. He'll give you what you want to have. This is the holy word of God. But when people stop studying and stop spending time in prayer and speaking to God and seeking God's will for their life, we slowly stray away. When we do, guess what? That one little bit right there, Satan can use it as a snare. Before we know it, we stop praying, we stop reading the Bible the way we're supposed to. Then there's a football game on Wednesday night. We ain't going to Wednesday night church. And then Thursday, man, my favorite show is on. There ain't no way I'm going soul winning. We're starting to stray because we gave Satan that one little inch, like that fella I told you. And he's taking that mile. He wants to see how far he can get you away from God. Now, if we're saved, we never lose our salvation. We know that. I like to use the illustration in the winter, in an ice storm, trees fall, right? There's some in here. Many of years have served God. And that tree's firm, solid, big tree. But if that ice weighs it down, just like sin would weigh us down, if that ice weighs it down, when it falls, what does it do? It don't fall by itself. There's other trees around it and knocks them down. The same thing will happen to us. If we're a saved individual grounded and we got people watching us. I heard something by Curtis Hutchins the other day in class. Said we're affecting 200 people at all times in our life. And I got thinking about that. I don't hardly know 200 people. How am I affecting 200 people? Because people watching you that know you. And then that person's going to tell the person they know. And that person's going to tell the person I know. Your life, the way you live your life, is affecting a lot of people. So if Satan can use something to make your life not a good testimony to God, for them people to fall, it's a stumbling block. So we got to live for God. We got to keep going. We got to not stray so we don't stray. We must guard our devotional life. We drawing nearing to God daily. We must take our stand boldly for God, staying away from Satan's territory. James 4:7-8 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. Cleanse your hands. Purify your heart. How are we going to do that? We can't. But we're in that word of God. And when our mind and our thoughts are centered on what God is saying and nothing else, it can keep us not to stray. Number two, don't strut. You know how these young boys like to strut around with that chest. I call it the Banny Rooster syndrome. That's what I used to call it all the time. You ever seen a Banny Rooster? They kind of strut. They got that chest poked out like this. My gut pokes out, but their chest pokes out. I got the sumo wrestler syndrome is what I call it. But they strut around because they're prideful. They're prideful. Don't be prideful. Satan can use pride real quick. That's what's wrong with this country today. This country's got an eye problem. A me problem. And I'm not talking about these right here. We can see fine. But we got an eye problem. I can do this. I can do that. Look at me. Look what I done. Don't know. God allowed all things to happen. I. When we should say, he. Jesus Christ died for me. I didn't die to save one of y'all. Jesus Christ died for you. Hey, God gave us that book. When preachers get up and they read the book, Word of God, they're not just giving you what they want to have. They're giving you the Word of God. If it's a preacher worth his weight in gold, or salt, I guess you could say, he's giving you the Word of God. It's not him. It's God. We need to turn people back to God. That'll keep us from being prideful. It's not me. It's God. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Look, when you're prideful, It's eventually, when you're all high and mighty, there's eventually going to be a fall. It's eventually going to be something that knocks you off that high horse. I've been knocked off a high horse plenty of times. Literally, knocked off a high horse. I used to break horses, and I was prideful, thinking, look what I can do. And I always hit the ground. My mama can vouch for this. They had to take me to the hospital a couple of times. Well, one time I know for hurting my knee. Prideful, getting bucked off a horse. But that's a different thing. But Christ don't want us to be prideful. He wants us to live a life holy and acceptable to God, but not boasting of ourselves, but boasting of God, what He done for us. It's okay to say, look, I done this and I done that, when it's pointing others to Jesus Christ. Not when it's boasting, saying, look what I done. I can do it my own way. My way's the best way. No, His way's the only way. For I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No, He's the way. Not me. Not me. So we need to not to strut. Some Christians lack humility. Some people don't want to be any kind of humility. Let me tell you, it's hard. I have learned a lot about humility since we've been gone. Quite a bit about humility since we've been gone. We don't do it as much as they do. And I say that with a kind of a soft heart. I'm up there in classes, and I'm the only person from the South up there. And they pick on Southerners quite a bit. Quite a bit. They also call me the old man, because I am the oldest one there. They ask me when I get out of the chairs if I need my walker. They laugh at my gray hairs, and I always tell them, well, hold up. Laughing at my gray hairs. Go to Proverbs 16:31. Well, what does that say, Brother Brian? The hoary head, which means gray head, is righteousness. So, hey, I'm right with God. That's what I always tell them. Just pointing right back to throwing something at them, trying to get them back off me. But I've learned a lot about humility up there. It's real hard to sit there and knock on a door, get cussed out, and being willing to go knock that next door. We had a young man that was out soul winning with a group of us, and he was with me about 4 weeks ago. And we knocked the door, and we got a pretty good tongue lashing. I mean, real good. And we walked away, and I started walking to the next house, and this young man said, what are you doing? He said, I'm headed to your car. We was in my van. He said, I'm headed to your car, man. I'm done. I can't take that no more. I said, well, I'm sure glad Jesus Christ didn't get spit upon and said, I'm turning around and walking away. I'm glad that he didn't get mocked. Same thing we was doing, getting mocked. And say, I'm done. I ain't going to that cross for y'all. I told him, I said, Jesus Christ followed through what he promised he was going to do. And then Jesus Christ, after he died, he asked one thing of all of us to go and tell. Think about it. The first thing Jesus said when he resurrected from the tomb, when Mary met him, what did he tell her? To go and tell the disciples. And then they met Mary. She went and told the disciples, and then Jesus appeared to them. What did he tell them? To go and tell someone else, and then go and tell. We all got a command to keep going and telling. No matter where we go, we got to go and tell. But we don't need to do it pridefully. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what they're thinking of you. Worry about what you're doing for God. Don't worry about how they're treating you. Worry about, what I'm doing pleasing God? Look, I thought about this a couple weeks ago. You know, I've preached on it before. I want to hear. I'm ready for the rapture to come. I'm ready for that trumpet to sound. What I'm not ready for, when I thought about this the other day, is once that trumpet sounds, and I got to stand before Jesus Christ, we all want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to hear that. I'm not looking forward to that. Because I know, personally, there could have been a lot more I could have done for Jesus Christ. A lot more. I don't want to hear, you could have done this. Hey, I gave you an opportunity to do that. What did you do with it? But when I thought about that, it was real sobering to me. I want to keep living my life and serving God the best way I can. But I thought about that. when I stand before Jesus Christ and He's judging me on my life, is it pleasing to God? Was there been times that I was too prideful to see what God wanted me to do? Was there times where my own will was in the way of God's will and they was butting heads? Yep. If we'd all be honest, we would all say the same thing, that we all have our own will. And our own will and God's will, when they collide, we don't like it. I'll tell you right now, right back there where Miss Joy is sitting right about now, on a Thursday night in a missions conference, when God started talking to a 32-year-old's heart that night about going to some foreign field, I said, God, that ain't my plan. That ain't, he spoke, I got all week long, preacher said he saw it before I did. I was under, I don't know what all it was. I was just tore up. Couldn't think of nothing else that week. But I had to surrender to God's will. We got to get ourselves out of the way. We got to humble ourselves and serve God. It's like with this read in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Number three, don't stoop. Don't stoop down lower than what you should be. In Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome with evil. Don't stoop down worried about what your friend, look, we all have lost friends. We can raise our hand right now. We all know one lost person we know, especially some from our past. And sometimes some Christians might be persuaded by that lost friend to do a little something they shouldn't. What can Satan do with that? What can Satan do? Let's just use an example. Say your lost friend said, look, I was at a bar last night and I left my keys in there. Would you take me over there to get them? Now, we're not sinning by no means. We're just going to take them to the bar. But yeah, we walk in with them, help them find their keys. What is Satan going to do with that? When your church member sees you walking out of that bar. And then we know people like to gossip. I mean, that phone is going to be running 100 miles per hour. Every woman I know is going to be, whoo, girl, did you know that such and such just came out of this bar? And that story is going to keep stretching. And then the guy's going to get a hold of it and say, man, I wish I was him. But in the bar. But we need to not stoop down. We need to keep standing fast to where God gave us. He gave us salvation, people. He died for us. Why would we want to stoop any lower? He saved us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. While you were yet sinners. He didn't ask you to change then. Then He changes us. He convicts us. He changes us. The morals of the world are now, look, this world right now is a pretty wicked place. Very wicked place. I thank God He allowed the elections to go the way they did. I really thank God for that. Now this, I pray for the ones that were elected that they would keep through what they said they would. And they wouldn't let Satan throw a snare for them. But this world is a pretty violent place. It's, we look around, we see all different kind of things going on that, I'll be honest with you, there's things I don't want my kids to see that happen down the street from the house. Because that's how corrupt this world done got. And some of the people call themselves Christians. They'll be Christians, but I wouldn't call them a Christian the way they act. But this world is full of drugs. This world is full of sex. This world is full of all kinds of things. Speaking of drugs, I'm going from a little rabbit trail right here. Because this laid on my heart. Pray for Northeast Ohio for drugs. That place is a drug trafficking place. There are people there's a boy that goes to school with us that's kind of in a group with him. He was saved out of it. He OD'd three times, almost died all three times. He got saved, praise God, but he told me this sobering thing. Every month in Northeast Ohio, there's about 32 people that die of drug overdose. There's people that's sitting there dying because they're prideful. They're living life to themselves. They're strutting themselves, thinking they can do it all themselves. Time to drugs, thinking they're all on top of the world, 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Then they die and they spend eternity in hell because they don't know of Jesus Christ. They won't listen to him. They won't humble themselves. They don't stoop down below. Number four, don't stop. Don't stop. Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We shall be hated of men for his name's sake. You ever had anybody that you didn't think liked you? Yeah, quite a few for me. But they don't. We should be hated for men for his name's sake. I'm okay with that. If a man don't like me because I'm a Christian, I have nothing wrong with that. If that man don't like me because I serve God, I'm okay with that. If that man don't like me because I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ's name every place I step, I'm okay with that. Don't stop proclaiming it. Don't sit there and hold your mouth shut thinking, well, I'm not going to say it at this time because it's not the right place. Where's the right place? The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. Look, it tells us to go everywhere. Don't say this. So you can go to church and proclaim it. Every now and then, once a week, you can proclaim it at somebody's door. Proclaim it everywhere. Everywhere. God uses that. God puts people in your path that he wants you to witness to. Me and my wife had the privilege. We had to switch phone companies. Long story. I won't get into the story. We had to switch phone companies the other day. They was C Spire and an Ohio-based company. I'll put it to that. We was talking to this girl. Her name was Devin. We're sitting there. We're the only one in this cricket store. We're talking to her, and she said, you're not from around here. I get that a lot up there. When I first got there, Jennifer got a kick out of it. People say, you're not from around here. I said, no, I'm not. What part of the South are you from? Oh, I'm from New Jersey. That's what I used to tell them. They didn't believe that at all either. But she said, you're not from around here. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. I'm from Mississippi. Well, what are you up here for? I use that a lot. What are you up here for? I'm up here in Bible college, training to go to Bolivia, South America. Oh, what church, what college you go to? I said, I'm going down here to Massillon Baptist College. She said, well, I used to go to that church when I was 10 years old. Rode a bus. She was a bus kid. We were sitting there talking to her, and I said, Devin, let me tell you something. You know who I am and what I am now. I said, let me ask you a question. I ask anybody I can this question. Brother Mike mentioned this morning when he was leading music. It was on the back of our soul winning cards right there on the top. I said, Devin, if you were to die today, she was 21 years old. If you were to die today, do you know where you spend eternity? 21 years old. At 21 years old, I didn't think about dying. She wasn't either. She didn't think about dying. But then my wife can vouch for this. She got teary-eyed. She said, I really don't. But I guess I'd go to hell. We sat there and was able to witness to her. And right there at her job, 15, 20 minutes conversation, Devin got saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I wasn't going to stop. I wasn't ashamed of giving the gospel. I didn't care who heard it. And thank God she didn't either. She sat there and prayed right there at the counter and asked Jesus Christ to save her, forgive her of her sins. She was under so much conviction because somebody, and it wasn't me, it was God using me. I ain't saved a soul, but God's used me to give the gospel out. And I'm not going to stop giving it out until God takes the breath out of my lungs. But she sat there and got saved. We don't need to stop. We need to proclaim. Some have made a good start, but have not come to a bad, come to a bad stop in a Christian life. They start off well. We see plenty of Christians that start off well. They walk a good walk, man. They strut around like I was talking about that Benny Rooster. They sitting there with their chest poked out. Man, you see what I did? Man, I went soul winning on Thursday, Saturday. Man, I was there Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Man, I even went to the Christmas banquet. It was great. I gave you the Christmas offering. That is great. But then we start seeing them. No, they're taking too much of my time. That church is taking too much of my time. I'm going to go back and do what I want to do. So they slowly stop. Well, I ain't giving that Christmas offering this year. I'm not putting that's too much of my money for that tithe this week. I'm going to back that up. I need to buy me something for me. Satan uses that. Satan uses every bit of that as a snare. And then he slowly progresses that sin in our lives, and we start thinking that sin ain't really sin to us. To that person, I guess you could say, that sin is, it's just, everybody does it. Satan wants us to believe that. Satan wants sin to look good. I mean, in Genesis we read that he told Eve, look at that tree. Man, surely, this is paraphrasing, surely that tree, look how beautiful it is. Surely you can eat from it. You ain't going to die. Don't worry about what God says. Satan was lying. Satan was taking something that he knew she shouldn't do and making it look good. He does that to us too. He tries to make it look good. So we don't need to stop. We need to keep pushing forward for the cause of Christ. No problem is too difficult. No trial is too severe. No burden is too heavy for the Christian, because God's help and grace are all that's needed. God's help and grace is all we need. We don't need to stop. We need to avoid Satan's snares. We need to not get caught up in the worldly things around us. We need to keep going. In Romans 8:37-39, all these things are we more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's comforting to me. There's nothing that can separate me from God. But I've trusted God as my Savior. I called upon Jesus Christ to save this sinful sinner right here. His blood covers my sin. When God looks at me, he don't see my sin. He sees Jesus Christ. The blood covering me. But yet, there might be some in this room tonight that's saying, you know what? I don't have that assurance. I don't really know what's going to happen. You might be like that girl we ran the other night. Don't really know. Hey, don't be ashamed of it. The first thing you need to do to avoid a snare from Satan, because Satan could have done threw a snare out to keep you from believing, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't hesitate. None of us are promised another second in this world. We can all right now just be taken out that fast. At that moment, we'll know who's saved and who's not. I can't wait to that day when God calls me home. What a rejoicing day that's going to be to sit there. I got excited the other day. I was talking to Jennifer. And I know I need to hasten. I was talking to Jennifer, and I said, I can't wait to sit down and talk to Noah and Paul. To sit down and get a good conversation with them. Tell me how it was to build that ark. Paul, tell me how it was to sit there and go through all this persecution. How did you have the faith, Paul? I just want a little bit of it. But I can't wait to that day. Like I said, maybe you're in here today and you don't know. If you're saved, nothing can take us out of the hand of God. Nothing. Let me tell you, Satan can still throw a snare. And he can make you a stumbling block. And he can bring you out of the will of God. He ain't taking your salvation, but he's taking your testimony. Our testimony is the greatest thing we can use for the cause of Christ. How Christ saved me. A person that just got saved can be a great soul winner if they go and give the gospel. Well, what are they going to tell them? They don't know what to tell them. Tell them the same thing that happened to them. Tell them the same thing that happened to them. That Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried. He risen on the third day. He died for me. That's all that matters, that we know that. So I plead with you today, don't let Satan set a stumbling block, a snare. Protect your testimony. Live for God. Don't stop. Don't stray. Don't strut. Don't be prideful. Don't stoop down. Serve God to every inch of capacity you have. Give God 100%. He gave you all he had. He gave you his son, Jesus Christ. He gave you his love. He died for you. Like I said, if you're in here today and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, make that decision today. If he's convicting your heart, make that decision today. I think, I'll give you one more illustration before I'm done. When we first moved up there, there was a bunch of rodents around the house where we lived in. There were some groundhogs and some possums. And I'm using this as a trap thing. So Brian and Logan really got excited. I said, I'm going to go down to Harbor Freight and I'm going to buy a live trap. And I'm going to catch them stupid little rodents that's running around digging up underneath our front porch. And we bought the live trap the first night. Well, the second night they actually caught it. They caught a big old possum. The third night, I think it was, they caught a big old groundhog. I was studying. We can't eat groundhog. I started to eat it, and I sure enough thought they would talk about the Southerners then. All I could think about was the people, neighbors, saying, look at them. Do you see that Mississippi tag? But we want to think about that. That's the same thing Satan does. He finds something. What we put in them traps was a cantaloupe. We found out that they really love cantaloupe. They come to it. Satan does the same thing to us. He puts something that we really love. And he'll say, let's tempt them with this. Far too many Christians give in. And they go after that bait. And what's that bait do once it got it? It's got us trapped in sin. It's got us burdened down. We don't know how to get out of it. It's ruined our testimony. I pray that's not us tonight. I pray that we can say, I'm going to live for God. I'm not stopping. I'm not stooping. I'm not going to strut and be proud. I'm going to serve God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we love you for what you've done for us, Lord. As Brother David was talking this morning, Lord, we're thankful for every day you've given us, Lord, and everything you have done for us, Lord. We just praise you for it, Lord. We just pray, Lord, you'd help us bind the devil, Lord, to be looking out for his snares, Lord, that we'll never stoop down, that we'll stay in, Lord, that we'll serve you to our full capacity. Lord, we just praise you for it. Lord, we just thank you for this church, what it stands for, Lord. Lord, how it goes out week after week, winning souls for Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you for it. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you'd be with us tonight. As the music starts playing, Brother Mike.